Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Raven Podcast with your hosts Michelle Ampillo and Mandy M. Roth, where they'll talk a little about everything and a lot about nothing.
Hi, and welcome to Raven Radio. This is Michelle Pillow, and with me is Mandy Roth.
Hello, everyone.
Who is, I think, adventuring outside in the snow.
Well, you know, there was something against my house, and it was bugging me because, you know, nothing should be something against the house. So I decided to investigate right as I'm calling Raven Radio. I have good timing. Yeah.
Well, I automatically deem it paranormal.
Yeah.
From where I sit with absolutely no evidence, but...
I always think it's that damn raccoon that's been hanging out in my trash can. Flicking the lids at my house. Hey, lady. Okay, back in and hoping my shoes don't squeak across the floor as I go.
Well, I should say thank you for joining us on the 19th of March, 2008, for those people who like the dates. And we do have a quick announcement. Next week's show, March 26th, there will be no show next week.
Right.
We are taking the week off to do some much-needed things that cannot be avoided, but we'd much rather be here talking to you. And we will be back the following week, Wednesday, from 11 to 12 a.m. Yeah. 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. On the next week's show. So we hope you'll join us back there in a couple weeks.
We'll have
mark your calendars. Don't leave us.
I think Jacqueline Frank will be joining us then, along with I think Anya Bass may be calling in as well.
Awesome.
So that'll be kind of exciting.
Listener, the call-in number today is 646-595-3998. It is a New York number, so long-distance charges could apply. For more information on using your computer to chat live with us during the broadcast, just visit ravenhappyhour.com and follow the prompts for Raven Radio. Or if you want to email us questions for the next show, you can email us directly at ravenradio@ravenhappyhour.com. And this week, or today actually, sorry, we're having author Dawn Ryder / Mary Wine join us to discuss her books. And hopefully some of her, you know, historical costuming and some of the other cool things that she has going on.
Yes.
Very interesting lady. She's been on the show before, so I'm looking forward to talking to
her.
Oh,
yeah, she's a lot of fun. We've been excited to get her back on here. Now, did you have anything before we get started? And we have Mary come on. Did you have anything you needed to talk about?
The only announcement I have, which is kind of cool, is Maiden and the Monster is going coming out in the Spanish version with Dolores Cave.
Yeah.
And this was my book that won the Romantic Times Reviewer Choice Award last year. And I got to give my little speech. And I got my little plaque. It was so cool. So I'm really excited because it's a historical romance. It is Dolores Cave, so you know it's going to be a little sexier. And it was one of, as far as what I understand, it was chosen as one of the first titles to come out in Spanish. And this is going to be my first official, like, foreign language title. So it's really, it's thrilling. But the line is called El Tercer Nombre, and forgive my Spanish.
Oh, yeah, I think I felt a lot of the viewing audience just cringe right there. I did.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, I am an English native, if you could tell.
And no, it wasn't obvious
very,
at all.
Very well ingrained in there.
Oh, you so pulled it off. No one.
You know what? I'm thinking, though, my vocal cords could probably handle, like, Swedish. The language of my ancestors.
Yeah.
Go Vikings. Wait, isn't that a football team?
All I got out of that was you as the Swedish chef on the Muppets. That's all I got.
You just said the word chef. Oh, you completely lost me at that. food.
Oh, my gosh.
But,
I should probably tell everybody, Bella Mia, it should be coming out soon. I don't have a release date, actually. I just know soon. So I'm excited about that. It should be soon. That's all I have for you, and I'm sorry about that. Soon, also, the Pocket Anthology with Anya Bast and Catherine Fox and I will be coming out. It's called Magical Seduction. And I'm going to do it again, Michelle. I'm going to start humming Snoop Dogg, Sensual Seduction again. Yeah, that's bad, and I really shouldn't, because if someone here can't pull off rap, that would be me. Yeah, I'm just saying. So, yeah.
Oh.
Mary's here. Thank God we've been saved from me rapping to everyone.
Thank you, Mary.
Hi, Mary. Welcome to Raven Radio.
Good morning, ladies.
How are you doing?
We were going to start rapping. Did you want to join?
Yeah. Well, actually, I had to investigate something outside my door, but, you know.
See, it was happening everywhere.
Well, I happen to know it's causing the something outside my door. It's rampant spring fever in my tortoise. But
oh, that's right. You have a giant tortoise, don't you?
I have a giant tortoise who is outside right now having more fun. It's warm in California, and, well, let's just say he's making the most of it.
Oh, jeez.
Now, how did you get a tortoise as a pet?
Yeah.
They're actually a little more common out here. Our yards aren't as large, and our houses are closer together, and they don't bark. So he makes a pretty good pet. The type of tortoise I have is a sulcata, and he's actually about as intelligent as a macaw parrot.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, fun.
So he's 130 pounds now. And
So not a lap turtle. Got it.
Well, you know, let's just say if he gets on your lap, you're not going anywhere. Jupiter has been responsible for many wonderful adventures in the family, yes.
Now, how are they? I mean, do they like to have you pet them? I mean, I just don't know a lot about these big turtles and that.
He actually scratches on the back door when he wants to come in the house. He's a very sociable animal, and he's very happy when you come out and hand-feed him. He doesn't like to eat alone. Likes a little company there.
Yeah.
And every now and then I'll catch him in the house, you know, sitting there next to my husband while my husband's watching the ball game or something. And, you know, you swear for all the world that that animal is watching the game.
Now, does it sleep inside or in, do you have like a pool for it? How does that work?
Well, it's actually a tortoise. So tortoise are the land variety
mm-hmm.
of tortoises. They don't swim. They actually have feet, not webbed flippers.
Mm-hmm.
So he actually sleeps in one of those big dog houses, and he has to have his heat lamp. Because he comes from the Sahara Desert, and it doesn't get below 60 degrees there.
Okay, that's just trippy cool. I'm going to need photos. This is cool.
You know, I can send you photos. I sent you some of my dresses.
Yes, you did, and I love them. I was really, really, really jealous.
You can afford those.
I got
you
lots of
them. You can afford them, Mary. Michelle.
Yeah.
You know, right now it is high Renaissance fair season, and I can tell you right now I'm sitting here at my writing desk, and the costumes are encroaching on my writing desk. My sewing room and my writing room are the same room. So there are half-finished costumes, like, glaring at me right now.
Well, we should probably tell everyone, in case they don't know who you are and that and what you do, a little bit about yourself, and then, you know, lead into the costume thing so that everyone understands where we're going with it. Because we tend to just, you know, we hop. Yeah. Go ahead, tell us about yourself.
Well, I am a full-time writer. I write under two names, Mary Wine and Dawn Ryder. Dawn Ryder's a little more erotic than Mary Wine, but Mary Wine is definitely not tame.
And that's Ryder with a Y, right?
Yes, Ryder with a Y. And let's see, I write for Laura's Cave, Sam Hain, and Pocket at the moment. And I love writing. I am a historical costumer, so when I talk about costumes, I'm talking about garments that are made up to the specifications that would have been in the past.
So do you write historical then? Because, you know, of your knowledge of the historical costumers?
Well, actually, the story I have that's in the Pocket Anthology is a historical. It's a Regency piece. And at the moment, I've been writing. I just won an Epi for my historical weapon.
Yes, you did. Now, tell us about this.
Yeah, that one, it was Let Me Love You. It's a historical Western, and it's with Samhain Publishing.
Mm-hmm.
Has a great cover on it.
Okay, now we should probably go ahead and tell the readers, or the listeners, I'm sorry, I always say readers, I'm sorry, I'm used to blogging, a little bit about what an EPI is so they understand this.
Well, EPI is part of the electronic publishing industry's, it's one of their highest awards, and I'm just still tickled that I actually won this award. I was quite tickled when I made the cut into the finalists, but
yeah.
You know, to actually win it was something I didn't quite let myself get hooked on. It's a long drop down. But I was really so excited that I got the award and it came in the mail, and it's just a huge honor. It really is.
Yeah, it is, definitely. And this is for which book again? One more time?
Let Me Love You,
okay.
The historical Western at Samhain Publishing.
And it's Oh, yes,
Let Me Love Him. Wow,
like,
people,
how could you forget that? I had to listen to you go on about the cover.
That's right. I mean, we just had to remind me, Abs of Steel, I'm there again. Yeah, like in the moment.
Oh, yeah, she's renamed your book, Let You Love Mandy.
I keep asking everyone who comes on.
Blacked out the heroine's name and wrote Mandy on top of it.
Yeah,
I'm
asking.
Books are like that.
Can we give me like, you know, a hot love interest in a book, people? It's not that hard. I'm a nice person. Let them love me. Yes.
You know, I could make that happen, and then you might come after me at RT.
Are you kidding? I'd be so excited. I'd be like, did I get a harem of men? Did I? All to myself? I don't even know. What is it called when you have multiple men? Is it a harem for them, too?
Well, yes. I mean, a harem's when you have multiple partners locked up and, you know, waiting on your pleasure.
Stop it now. I'm grinning, and I just feel all fuzzy inside.
Mandy's so thinking her head. I told you women can have them too, Michelle.
See, the thing is that actually, and you know, Bertice Small had a book where there was a woman who actually had a harem in it.
Oh.
Cut my teeth on Beatrice Small. But one of her books, and I can't remember which one, it might have been All the Sweet Tomorrows, one of the female characters actually kept a harem of men.
Oh, see, now I'm going to idolize her.
And which
yeah.
book was that?
I can't remember exactly which one it was. It was one of the Skye O'Malley books.
Okay. I've never read her, but I've heard of the Skye O'Malley ones.
Skye O'Malley books, for their day, they were really rule breakers, let me tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Good stories, though. Very good stories.
See, and you know what? I enjoy going back through and reading things because, like I said, I think I've told everyone this before. I didn't come in reading romance. I didn't, you know, come in the door knowing all the authors and reading it. I came in reading Stephen King, Clive Barker, people like that. And
which is really great for your romance influence on your novel.
I know. You mean lack thereof romance influence? You have to go, hey, Mandy, they didn't say I love you.
Well, you know, there was a lot of affection in Misery.
Yeah, I thought so, too.
You know, in a twisted sort of way, but those stalkers, you know, they're absolutely devoted.
And, you know, we should comment on the fact that how many times are our alpha males borderline criminals? I mean, in real life, if you had this guy who would not give up on you and
yeah,
called
I mean,
police.
Yeah, I did a big blog thing that just reminded me of, and I called it stalking versus persistence. How much is too much?
Yeah.
Well, let's face it, my Alcandian books are all about, you know, an alien society that, you know, basically selects their female, and, you know, that's just the way it is. You're on another planet.
But I think you could get away with it better there.
You know, I would say that, you know, in reality, that wouldn't translate very effectively.
You know, I would want that for about an hour, and then me with my personality be like, okay, I've had enough playing that I actually am going to listen to you. Can we move on?
It was really fun, guys, and now I'm going to take a
Your
direct
12 minutes are up.
Going back to reality now. Got it.
Wait, I'm in
so now you write all over the board. You do historical, you do futuristic type.
Mm-hmm.
So you're everywhere with it. Now, can you tell us a little bit more about kind of just a little bit about each of your books, if you can, or just some that stick out in your head? Or?
Well, you know, my dream series, Dream Shadow, Dream Surrender, mm-hmm. Seduction, these are paranormals, and they were my first set of books that I wrote. Absolutely love working with paranormal heroines. Just love it. Being able to merge both the metaphysical and the physical reactions in the world, how it relates to real life. Loved putting together that particular set of books. And, you know, my Alcandian series are very popular, the Ménage à Trois with warriors from another planet,
mm-hmm.
always very popular. And I like the fact that I get to create the world, so I create lots of little gadgets, like the bed makes itself when you get up.
Oh,
and the floor is lasered clean once you leave the room.
You know, I thought the whole me getting a harem was sexy. This is better. You guys, everybody, I'm fighting a head cold, so when my voice goes in and out, that's why.
Well, Canada is a great place to live when you look at the fact that there's basically no housework.
I might get bored there, though.
Heaven!
And you get two men devoted to you completely. So.
Stop it now. See, now
they
I demand.
They take orders because...
I demand to be written into the series. I'm sorry, you don't get a choice
anymore.
The heroine
is named Mandy.
They're all named Mandy now.
And my Dawn Rider stuff is a little bit, as I like to call Dawn Rider. Dawn Rider is my inner naughty child. And so I have a tendency to explore what might have happened in my historicals. I like to explore what might have happened when the servants weren't noticing and what things could have happened behind closed doors and things of that nature. I love to play around in the Victorian period because a lot of people see only the staunch exterior of the Victorians. You know, they don't realize that that was the era that vibrators were invented.
You know, I was reading a book, a nonfiction book on the Victorian era and, like, mm-hmm. sex in the Victorian. My jaw, I think, just stayed open. It just dropped the whole time, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, I so missed out on a great era.
The Victorians were very interesting people. On the exterior, everybody had to be prim and proper, but believe me, they had some very, very interesting little ideas about what a woman needed to be calm.
Oh, yeah.
And most people don't realize that the doctor did carry a vibrator with him, and he treated his patients. It was
wow.
a common practice.
That's why doctors were such a popular profession.
During that period, because that's how you kept the lady meek and mild, you understand.
See, you know what? That's you know what, people? That's how I need to become meek and mild. I think I'm going to have to place some orders on the Internet today. That's Mandy, by the way. I don't want Michelle to take the flack from that.
Yeah, everything inappropriate is Mandy. Now,
yeah, I don't think anyone's shocked.
I'm saying whatever I want.
Anyone who wants to call in today and just sort of, you know, shoot the, you know with us, you can call in at 646-595-3998. That's 646-595-3998. You can also go to ravenhappyhour.com and click on the links, and you will happen upon our chat for this that's going on live. You're welcome to come in, say hi, ask questions, just hang out, whatever. Okay, back to Mary.
Now, you know, my latest book is Dawn Rider. It came out last Friday. And that is Challenge Protocol. Now, my protocol books have been really popular. So they are Menage, and they are Special Forces.
Oh, see, now I've got this, like, permanent fuzzy feeling in this conversation. Big guys with guns and, you know, bigger guns. Yeah, how can you not love that?
Well, they've been popular, and I've been excited about the series because it's been a challenge to write, but it's also been very enjoyable to write.
Yes.
I loved delving into the fact that I had a unit of special forces that ended up getting dishonorably discharged.
Mm-hmm.
And now with the second book, I'm coming back around on how they clear their name. Mm-hmm. But because of that, they stick together in teams. They basically don't ever let their guard down,
mm-hmm.
which sort of necessitates the fact that they end up falling in love with the same woman.
Oh, oops.
And it's a very interesting series. The first series was about one pair, and now the leader fell, this second book, to a lovely, very self-confident woman.
Oh, I love those kind of women.
And what was the title of this one?
This one's called Challenge Protocol.
Oh, your new one that just came out.
Yeah, it just came out last Friday.
Well, congratulations on that.
Well, thank you.
Now, I've been dying to ask you about one because this is one of them that is, as soon as I get caught up on my work, I really want to get it. It's Tempting a Lady, and I know I'm throwing this at you because it is an older release for you,
mm-hmm.
but it's the great thing about e-books is that you can go get those older releases just like they came out.
Well, that particular title is the one that's coming out in July in the Pocket Anthology.
Oh, is it?
Ooh. Yes.
Okay, because I know I always go by, and I don't know if it's just the way he's holding your face on the cover or the name or, you know, just kind of glancing through the whole Regency thing.
Mm-hmm.
I just, every time I come by that, I stop, and I'm like, I need to get that one. And I don't let myself read for fun until I get the work done. Otherwise, work never gets done.
Well, Tempting
I tried
a Lady,
it the other way.
Tempting a Lady is a little bit naughty, but it's also a very clever little heroine. You know, she discovered that one of the rakes of the season is basically moving in on her younger sister. Now, she's a widow, and so she knows exactly what he's got on his mind. So during one of the summer parties that's being held at her house, she proceeds to show up in his bedroom with no clothes on and tells him that if he doesn't stay away from her sister, she's going to scream the house down while she's standing there buck naked.
And that would lead to some serious, yeah.
And then he would have to basically withdraw from the summer party ton
right.
because of the scandal. And she doesn't care about it because she's already a widow. So she will happily take the scandal if it keeps him away from her sister. What she doesn't know is that this particular rake, his brother, is standing in the shadows because his brother has heard that his younger brother is misbehaving and he's sort of been dispatched by the family to take the guy in line. Well, he decides that this woman is just the brassiest woman he has ever encountered in his life, and he decides that he's going to pursue her.
Yeah, that just
excited. Yeah.
Every time I go by that one and read the blurb, I'm just like, I want that one.
Yeah. Okay, now, oh, we have to move. Oh, geez, yeah, I always get stuck. I'm looking at it now on the website. I know, I do too.
Well,
I'm doing a show, darn it, forgot.
I start clicking the links and going, marking it for later.
Now, one more time, the name of that book, because we have Leela Brown asking in the chat room.
It's Tempting a Lady.
Okay, and it's also coming out in what pocket anthology?
Yeah, oh, I've forgotten the name of my pocket anthology. It's
I forget mine all
in
the
July.
Time.
So if you Google Dawn Ryder on Amazon, it should come up.
Yes.
And I know Leela has just said in the chat room that she's got to go pick that one up, and I so agree with you, Leela.
Yeah. That sounds familiar, and I want to say that, because I was looking through to find, you know, how many books by you that I own, because I always buy a lot of books that look good to me, but I never get the chance to sit down and read them. And, yeah, so now I'm going to be making a point.
I know that we've got a lot of the Mary Wine books.
Yes. Yes.
Well, they came out first. Dawn Ryder actually is fairly new.
Mm-hmm.
I've only been releasing Dawn Ryder titles for about a year and a half now.
Now, what made you decide to go ahead and do a separate name with those?
Actually, I wrote the first one, which is Improper Pursuits,
mm-hmm.
and it's a Victorian piece, and it's very, very, as I said, my inner naughty child. And I decided it really didn't fit, along with my editor, didn't really fit the Mary Wine titles that we had out at that time. It was really very different, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided that maybe I'd try launching a second name to deal with that particular facet of my personality. Help the readers along a little bit to be able to select. When you're picking up a Dawn Ryder title, there are no rules. trust me. There are no rules. There is often a lot of experimentation. There's often a lot of pushing of the envelope.
Well, see, that's exciting to me. I love reading books like that.
And when it works in a certain story, it's really good.
Mm-hmm.
I actually am going to have my very first Dawn Ryder S title releasing from Elora's Cave here shortly.
Really?
Oh, but it's got a great title.
What is it called?
Point of Combustion.
That is good. I like that.
And the only reason it's rating down at an S level is because it takes a little bit to get rolling.
Yeah.
Because my heroine is a virgin at the beginning of the story, so
mm-hmm.
she's not going to give it up real easy to the guy. She makes him work for it.
Yeah, I'm a fan of books. I'm a fan of, like, hot, heavy, you know, short, just it's all there in front of me, and bam. And I'm also a big fan of the drawing it out and kind of the lead-up, the build-up. You know, it just depends on my mood. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, what I'm going to read in that. But I was laughing when you said the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde thing, because I think Michelle even laughed at me. I have some books, these ones I did that were short futuristics. And they're very happy all the way through. They're very, very sexy. I mean, they're erotic, but they're very happy. Nobody dies. Nobody's getting in an epic battle. There's no, you know, good versus evil. So I actually put a disclaimer to my readers on the top of them, warning them before they bought it, just in case they were expecting. I get more emails of people laughing at me for doing that. I'm like, hey.
Well, and that's the thing. I wrote a book for one of my futuristics that is a menage, is Evolution's Embers. And the nice thing about that book was, hey, there's no big plot. There's no bad guy. The major problem is it's a cultural difference between the female and the two males.
Yeah.
She's been raised in an all-female lifestyle, and she's what's called an Asuka, which means she is a martial arts master, and the women compete until their 30th birthday. And if they are not pushed out of the program by being defeated during competition, then they become masters in this art teaching the next generation, and they don't have to submit to the matching laws that are in effect at this time. Well, she gets defeated because of an illegal knee sweep during a competition, and she gets sent off to be matched for reproduction. And she's not soft, and she's not helpless, which is what the rest of the females in the society are raised to be, basically little house pets. So these guys are expecting a soft, needy kind of female, and what they get is a absolutely fully trained martial artist.
Did anyone else have the, you know, I'm such a product of the 80s, everyone teaches me, the sweep the lick, sweep the lick. God, I love that movie. Ralph Macchio, I was in love with you when I was.
Oh, there. You're talking the Karate Kid?
Yes.
Sweep the knee. Yep.
Yeah. Up,
the funny thing is I am a martial arts referee.
Oh, fun.
And you'd be surprised how many times at competitions you're like, hip, hip, hip,
Yeah, I was pulled around to many of those when I was younger. My dad was into all that, so it was very interesting seeing all this stuff take place.
I'm actually a second-degree black belt. I'm training for my third degree, and I'm a referee. So
she
I
can
go
kick
with
your ass and make your clothes. See that? Wow. And educate you on the finer aspects of doctors bringing dildos. It doesn't get any better than that.
I have been to the Vibrator Museum.
There is one?
Yes, there is. It's in California.
I didn't even know there was one.
Andy's packing her bags right now.
I'm telling you, if you girls are coming to RWA, we got to take a road trip.
Can you see my accountant next year looking at my claims for deductions? Admission to the
Vibrator Museum.
Yeah, can you see it? I mean, this poor man's going to try to keep a straight face and sit with me.
Well, my accountant always sees me taking off things like, steel spring and steel boning. What's that for? Oh, I needed a new corset and a new bustle.
Yeah.
Going through airport security is especially fun at times.
You know, he probably thinks you're a madam of some, underground sex club.
You know, I carry pictures of my costumes now because it just saves a lot of time.
Yeah, this is what I do, really. I swear to you.
There are times when I'm running around town to pick my kids up, and I'm laced into a corset, and I just throw a T-shirt over it. And people are like, what do you have on? Corset.
Yeah.
I'm a historical costumer, and I'm in the middle of fittings for a new gown, so I didn't want to take the corset off. Here's a picture of what I'm making. It's not the leather one. That one's at home.
Yeah. I'm weird like that, though. I have a lot of strange. I just dress strangely anyways, and anyone who knows me knows that. And I'll just walk around in anything. I remember when I had to buy a bridesmaid's dress for my brother's wedding. And I was like, oh, that was, it was a big ticket one. She picked a nice one, but boy, was it pricey.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to everyone around me, I'm wearing this shopping. I don't care if I'm at Walmart. I don't care where I'm at. I will be in this dress getting my money's worth out of it.
You know, one of the funniest bridal showers I went to recently was a bridesmaid bridal shower.
Really?
We were instructed to wear a dress that you'd had to buy for someone's wedding for this bridal shower. And it was a hoot because some of the grandmothers even dug out dresses that they
Oh, my
had.
Gosh. I mean, how many of us have had to buy these things for people? And you don't have the heart to. You know, and actually, though, I have to admit, my sister-in-law did pick a really nice-looking dress. And I felt I had guilt because I tailored it over for the fairy ball, the
mm-hmm.
costume.
Okay.
I figured, I have this thing in there. I had to pay, $400 for it. I'm going to get my use out of it. So, took a bunch of black lace. And I don't know how to use a sewing machine, so anything I do is either by hand or the stitch seam tape stuff or hot glue guns. I'm not kidding. I know you're cringing.
Hey, staplers work good.
I use that, too, but I didn't want to confess.
Oh, I've seen it all.
The safety pins. Done like 50 safety pins to hold the hem in place because I don't know how to use a sewing machine. And it's not for lack of my mother. She tried to teach me. I don't get it. Yeah.
Well, I have 4 sewing machines in this house, maybe more.
See, I'm very jealous of women who, take to it and can, do these things and run with it because I'm just looking at it thinking, it's me and the hot glue gun. That's all I got.
My latest little purchase is a sock knitting machine from the 1800s.
Oh, stop.
Doesn't
I'm excited work. About this because I'm going to make lace hose that go up to my thighs.
Love it.
Yep. I'm having too much fun with this.
Who's dialing?
I don't know.
It wasn't me. I swear to you.
It's that paranormal influence you were looking for earlier.
There we go.
All right.
Whoever's doing it, stop.
I don't know. Maybe Jupiter's done having fun.
Now, I know that we talked about this last time.
Oh, I'm really sorry. I was moving away, and my hand bumped that button. I'm so sorry.
Fine, I won't talk.
Yes, please don't.
I'm going to mute you with my mind. Now, what I was going to ask is, we talked a little bit about, the cost of making costumes last time.
Right.
And I think a lot of people would be surprised that it is a lot more expensive than they might realize to buy some of those materials.
Mm-hmm.
And how much do you usually charge for, corsets and things like that? I know it depends on the design and how elaborate.
It does, but the difference is I'm actually making a garment. Now, you see a lot of costume replicas that are made with much cheaper materials. To give you an idea, and when I'm making a corset, I'm using what's called corset cotille, and I'm using silk taffeta, which, you know, runs $20 to $50 a yard on average. But this is the actual materials the Victorians were using, and what you get from that is you actually get the proper lift and torque that you should get out of a corset.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of us will go to sort of the fancy underwear stores, and you'll look at it and you'll say, okay, well, it's really cute, but when you put it on, you've worn it for an hour, it doesn't support you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
My garments are made with steel boning, and believe me, once you're in that puppy, it's staying right where it's at.
Yeah, I have a favorite bra that I swear to you is like reinforced with steel.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I love that sucker. When I get out of it, I actually exhale a sigh of relief from the pain, but, you know, it was perfect while I had it on. It actually, you know, shifted things back up the 6 inches. They moved lower throughout the year, so it was great. But,
and, it's the serious materials, which are harder to find,
right?
Because they're more expensive. And when I make something, I do own bustles, and they are spring steel bustles,
mm-hmm.
That are made correctly. You can wear it all day long. I went to RT a couple of years ago, and I wore one of my Victorians, and people said, isn't that killing your back because the weight of the bustle? I said, nope, because I have the right undergarments on.
Right, right.
In period costuming, it really is all about the undergarments. If you don't have correct-fitting undergarments, you're going to be in pain.
See, and I love everything to do with it. I need to live next door to you. I'd be over all the time. You'd be like, go away. I'm sick of making you stuff. You don't need that. You're doing yard work. I know, but yay.
No, actually, it's funny. I am so backed up in costumes now that I'm writing full-time that,
mm-hmm.
you know, I have people who are desperate for stuff, and I'm like, look, you don't understand. My yard is a jungle. I have to get this under control. No problem, Mary. We'll be over. We're doing your yard work. You're making a doublet, right? You know what? You come over here and deal with my jungle and my tortoise. Be nice to him. I'll make you a doublet. I get all my yard work in trade.
You can see.
Perfect.
The problem is I feel like I'm being held hostage in a Chinese laundry because I never get out of my sewing room. It's like, please, can I see the sun? Is that doublet done yet? No. You can't see the sun. Ah.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. You know, I wanted to get to paranormal news because we
mm-hmm.
always try to talk a little bit of paranormal.
Yes.
In ParanormalAbout.com, they are talking about a little thing is, you know, are ghosts and spirits in that actually from maybe another dimension, people from another dimension that's sort of like, you know, seeping through?
Mm-hmm.
So I thought maybe we'd pop that question out there and I'd get your guys' take on that. And if anyone else has anything they want to share with it or add in, it's 646-595-3998, 646-595-3998. And the chat room you can find through RavenHappyHour.com. Just follow the links and you'll get there and you can come in and talk to us about it. So you guys, what do you think?
On what?
On hello. If you just paid slight attention, just a little to me. I'm just kidding.
The number, then you're like, what do you think of the number?
I like it. I like the way the 6 and the 4 and the 6 go together.
Okay. You did a very good job, Mandy.
Thank you.
Well done.
I'm going to be Miss Game Show host next week. The seeping in of, like, people from other dimensions, and maybe this is what spirits are, and this is what ghosts are, blah, blah, blah. I mean, what's your take on that? Do you think there's any validity to that or no?
Well, that goes in with the concept that you have all your dimensions folded.
Right.
And therefore, we're sitting right next to another dimension.
Mm-hmm.
And every now and then you're going to have crossover or seepage between the two dimensions. And that it folds, so it doesn't remain that way, which is why you may have a ghost come through. If you have an area where seepage is allowed, like certain houses in England have ghosts from different periods, it's because it's constantly folding the different times going up and down.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you believe that, you know, there can be that crossover, that seepage, and that maybe this explains some of the, you know, unexplainable?
Oh, I definitely believe that there are hauntings that are very real.
Mm-hmm.
There are just too many of them that have been around for too long for it to just all be hearsay.
Right.
When you go to some of these places in England, and I've been to some of the ancient castles back there, there are presences there. You
mm-hmm.
you step onto the property where Mary, Queen of Scots, lost her head, and you enter that room, and believe me, the hair on the back of your neck stands up. It's a feeling unlike you'll find if you just go down to your local Burger King.
Unless it was built on Indian burial ground, you never know. Yeah.
Well, I know that you were mentioning that you got mistaken for these historical characters sometimes. Are people that you were ghosts?
I have been on ships before. When my husband and I cruise, which I have to maroon my high-working maintenance man on a ship in the middle of the ocean to get him to relax. It's the only way I get him away from email and everything else. I dress up in my Victorian. Now, they said it was formal night, but they did not give a year. And we go in our Victorians. And actually, we're very well received because I put my bustle on and my white gloves and put my hair up, and it's very formal.
Mm-hmm.
And we enjoy it very much. But I was out walking on the deck, and I guess I was standing a little too still. And I turned, and some poor lady screamed, thinking that I was a ghost on the rail of the ship, and when I moved, I scared the living daylights out of her.
Pretty funny, though.
Didn't mean to.
Yeah. Oh, I would love that. I would just be running around doing it on purpose. You'd see me, and you'd be like, what do you have on your neck? Fake blood. Yeah. Wanted to make it, you know, as real as possible. Let them live in the moment. Yeah.
Yeah, let me get a little white face powder. Okay, there we go. Now I'm ready.
Oh, yeah. You guys would. You'd be pulling me back in and, you know, trying to keep me from the general public for their own safety. But, no. So, Michelle, do you have any takes on the whole, you know, other dimension being the reason for spirits? And?
I don't know. I don't think I've researched enough into it to actually have a formed opinion about, you know, dimension travel. I know that it's great fodder for romance novels.
Oh, yeah. Isn't everything, though? I think you could take just about anything and spin it into a... At least I can. I'm sorry, a plague wiped out how many? Oh, but in the middle of it, two people found true love. Yes.
But
what
that's
are you talking
fun
about?
Of it.
Two people kick some butt in your books. Try to come off all romantic.
But that's the fun of it. I love to take terrible periods in history and spin a love story out of it.
Oh, yeah. I love to have my heroine kick the living crap out of the hero at least once.
I just finished writing a historical that's actually been requested
Ooh.
By a New York house, so we'll see how well it does. But it's about the Lord's bastard daughter, okay, and how the lady of the manor hates her, just absolutely hates her. And when he arranges a marriage for the legitimate daughter, mm-hmm. the legitimate daughter says, I'm not going to Scotland. They decide to send the bastard daughter up there to consummate the marriage, have a baby, come back, and they're going to pass the baby off as the legitimate daughter.
Jeez.
Oh, that's
so
good.
Does
I like
the, that. I always give it too much weight. Let's say, does the bastard daughter get to marry the guy?
Well, she, of course, falls in love with him. And at the very end of the book, what ends up happening is she does have the baby. But, of course, he comes after her. They assume that the Scots husband will not be very loving towards the bride, will just get her with child and go off and fight more Scottish wars because they think that all Scotsmen are, of course, barbarians. And that's not what happens. He's actually a very wonderful hero, loves her, and he comes after her and discovers the whole plot, and just as they're getting ready to poison her and kill her off so that she can't tell anyone what happened, there's a mix-up, and basically the legitimate wife and legitimate daughter end up drinking the poison.
Oh, oops.
Little just desserts being served up there.
Oh, yeah.
Our bad.
Yeah. My kind of book. It's so then,
of course,
to kill someone. Yeah.
Then, of course, the Lord Father is free to marry his mistress, thereby making our illegitimate daughter legitimate.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Because it's an Elizabethan piece, and in Elizabethan England, as long as they get married at some point, it doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
I know that we had been talking about, like, the dimension travel as far as being responsible for ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
I do know that one of the other thing is... sleep states and altered states of consciousness lead people to believe that they experience something natural, like, you know, sleep paralysis or the, you know, hypnotic trance,
mm-hmm.
to explain why people see spirits when they're in bed and aren't able to move or escape. So I know that was another thing, is just like a sleep disorder is where ghosts have been, some of ghosts have been explained as.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Have you guys heard of any other explanations too? I've been trying to look.
You know, but you know what you just said? I've also heard that explaining a lot of, like, the alien abduction theories, too. I've heard where a lot of people go back and fall on that, that these are happening when people are in that relaxed state and blah, blah, blah. I mean, so I've heard that explanation for, you know,
But when you go back to some of the castles, such as the one where Anne Boleyn was imprisoned before she was executed, you have people who are walking around, docents, showing people through the castle who have seen Anne Boleyn's ghost standing at the window. And it lasts for a couple of seconds, and you've had multiple accounts of things of that nature.
See, I love exciting things like that. At some point, when I'm able to, I would love to travel to these places and, like, go through things and just to be in the things. I mean, I do a lot of, like, in the States kind of travel when I do, but I am not a flyer or a boat person. So until they devise that great big train shuttle across the...
We're going to break you of that. I can have more fun in airport security than most mammals.
You know, I have to throw kudos out to Erin McCarthy, the author Erin McCarthy, for sitting with me and keeping me calm on a flight back from, was it RWA? Yeah, and I have to throw that out to you because I'm not a fun person to be with on a plane. When the landing gear went up, I was like, what is that? We're all going to die.
You know, I went to RT a couple years ago, and I actually, my schedule's clearing up. I may end up going this year. Nothing like the last minute, eh? And, you know, someone gave me a box of chocolates. And among them was a 5.5-pound chocolate penis. And I decided that I had to carry this in my carry-on luggage because I didn't want it to melt on the way home. And it's kind of warm out here in California this time of year. So, you know, so I'm going through airport security, and they decide they need to randomly check my carry-on. Yeah, that was fun. You should have seen the look on his face when he opened up that box. And he says, what's here? And I said, chocolates. And he goes, yeah, it does smell like chocolates. He opened up that lid. Now, you couple that with the corset that I had in the same bag. And
Oh, yeah. He was thinking, you know, wild mama there.
But, you see, that's half the fun. You just kind of have to look at him, wink, and move on.
Yeah. I think we've mentioned this once before, coming back from one of the places, some really fabulous readers, you know, shout out to Debbie and Dobby and that, and okay, this sounds bad, they actually took some kind of like, all right, they took decorations
they
from one of the parties for me.
They were party gifts, they were given out.
Yes, they were given out at the end, so I mean, I can't really, you know, they didn't steal them, but they were skulls of different kinds in that. And I didn't have any more room in my luggage. It was completely packed. You know what it's like to come back from conferences. You've got everybody's books and their promo material. And, I mean, you emptied yours out and turned to take everybody else's home. So my husband was with us. And God love the man for going there to start with. He ended up putting all this stuff. He had fairy wings from one of my costumes in his bag. And also he had all these skulls. So when they go through, you're looking at skulls coming out. Fairy wings. And it's in his bag. I mean, he looked like a cross-dressing, satanic-worshipping idol. It was insane. And just, you know, straight face, carry on. Gotta love that.
Yeah, my Victorians get me in more trouble. I toss my little Victorian evening bag into my carry-on, and they're like, what do you have in this bag? It's something metal and sharp. What?
Yeah.
Well, let's just open it up. No, don't open the bag. Okay. Yeah, I can often spend more time in airport security than most people.
Now, Lita's in the chat saying she did the haunted tour in New Orleans before Katrina. She said she took her six-month-old with them, and they lasted only a half hour. She's like, aren't I a great mom? She's like, that was at night. You know what, though? I think sometimes that, you know, things like that, the walks and the tours, are generally more just fun than actually disturbing, especially down. Like, I think I did the St. Augustine tours and went to the lighthouse and that, and you know, all that stuff that supposedly haunted down in that area of Florida, and took a lot of pictures in that there, and I didn't really feel anything, and also I'm obviously with flying on petrified heights, so I didn't go up the stairs. Took some pictures upwards of like my husband up there, and we got home and we were looking at all our photos, weird photos, and I'm not a big like believer in the orb photo things and that, but I have to say there's no reasonable explanation for the things that are in some of these photos. So that was exciting. But
we took a lot of pictures when we went through some of the castles in England.
Yeah.
And the only thing I can say is there is a definite difference in presence.
What? Oh, my gosh.
Blog Talk Radio, stop it.
I know.
It was, you know, it's something that you know, and it wasn't that I was in the mood to feel that way.
Right.
We were
right.
just going through different properties, and some of
right.
them just had a very different feeling to them. But I'm the kind of person that, you know, I just love the details of history. I love getting back over there where you see the medieval stuff built on top of Roman stuff. And
mm-hmm.
you can look at all the excavated layers, and I just find
oh,
that
I
stuff
love that.
Fascinating.
Yeah. I mean, and how can you not, too, just be in it and not just think of everything that has gone on that ground? You know, how
mm-hmm.
many battles, how many people's lives have, you know, started and ended there?
How many people's hopes and dreams
mm-hmm.
and good days and bad days, and right down to how many kids ran across the space of grass, you know, chasing a kite or something,
right.
playing, and, you know, ran home to tell their mother that they lost their first tooth.
Yeah.
And then, you know, 100 years later, there's another little boy running across the same patch of grass.
Yeah.
I guess that's my writer's brain. It just runs amok with the possibilities and the wonderful rhythm of life that is just there. And I can finish one book and then jump a couple hundred years and pick up another one.
Yeah, I love that too. I don't write historicals, but I love to read them, and I love to research history, but I don't write them. I call Michelle when I have a question. I'm like, what did they wear when and why?
And I get all excited because I'm like, oh, let me research. Hold on. Drop everything.
Well, you girl can call me. Shoot me an email.
You know that will happen too. She'll be like, stop calling me. I'm sorry I gave you my number.
And no, you'll get mad because I'll dump 17 pages on you, and you'll be
no.
like, oh!
We would roll in that, and we'd be like, you know, happy for the... We're weird like that. We're weird.
Yeah,
I will say it again. I had one line of a lamp that was used back, and I don't even know when I mentioned it. I had 4 days worth of research involved in endless PDFs and books for one line in a book. But you know what? Now I know the lamp, damn it.
Well, and you know, I'm going into edits on a book right now, and I know the speech of the period pretty well, and you know, my poor little editor is going, what? Bedlam. That's where all the crazy people went. What? Yeah, it's Bedlam. There's a whole song about it. Bonnie boys in Bedlam. Okay. They all go bare and live by the air, and they want no
See, we start off with a hint of Snoop Dogg and end with that, see?
And, you know, here's my poor editor going, okay, that one can stay.
Yeah, I think with historicals, when I write them, it's really important to have a good editor who understands the historical and has some sense of it. Otherwise, you're explaining everything. And I'm not saying your editor's bad or good or whatever. I'm not making a comment.
My editor's wonderful. She puts up with me.
That's the way I feel about all of mine. You put up with my little neuroses and quirks? Woo!
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, it's really important when you're writing historicals especially, is because when you get into the period and the time period, and it's like, well, did they have this and this and this then? Like, yes. And if you don't have a good editor who has, like, some sense of historical,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
time frame, you're going to be explaining every little piece, you know.
Because
like,
if you get it wrong, then I'll probably pick your book up and read it. And then I'll be like, oh, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Oh, I know. I'm meticulous in my research.
Yeah, what is this and why is this here? They didn't have this then. It would be me.
Yeah,
I'd be like, and they put on their Velcro Puma shoes, and people would be like, no, that's not far enough back, Mandy.
I think one of my favorite is ripping off of upper garments. It's like, do you have any idea what that corset's made out of? No, you don't. Because let me tell you something. If he ripped that with one hand, you would be hurting.
You need a team of, you know, small army and some hacksaws.
You just have to use both hands. That's all. One hand on either side, and then you can break the leg.
Yeah, I like hearing about how, like, somebody tosses their chainmail off, and I'm thinking, don't you got to, like, shimmy in and out of that? And it's kind of a work in progress, isn't it? I can't imagine where it would be like, whoosh, I'm off and in you, baby. Rawr.
No, and, you know, it does. It really chafes. So trust me on that one. I married a man with a full suit of armor.
Oh, that's just
easy. Imagine that getting off chainmail, that you're not going to toss it really around the room so much as clank on the floor.
It actually takes two people they stand on stools or the knight gets on his knees.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have to lift it up at the same time. You can't yank one shoulder at a time. You have to lift both shoulders and you pull it up over the head. And yes, it a chainmail shirt does take two people to remove properly from the knight, or what's going to happen is you're going to scratch him.
Mm-hmm.
And it hurts.
Yeah.
So it's that's what happens. I mean, because I have one or two in this house, maybe. And I do dress people in this stuff periodically, so I do know what the different armaments feel like.
Right.
The easiest ones to remove are more of the Celtic ones, where they were leather jackets with small pieces of metal sewn onto them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now these are jackets which can be untied and removed very quickly.
Okay,
but they're not as effective as chainmail was. You know, chainmail's little tiny circular pieces of metal that are interwoven together,
mm-hmm.
like a knitted sweater, only it's made 100% out of metal.
Mm-hmm.
And it does have to be removed because there's a lot of weight there, and it'll actually sprain your wrist if you try and pick that puppy up with one hand.
Yeah, I read sometimes in, you know, some of the historicals, and this, you know, it's just so easily discarded. It's, like, barely there. And I'm just thinking the whole time, and I'm not an expert on the time, and I'm like, wow, I would think there was more work to it than that.
There is. I actually give classes out in this area on historical garments to readers and things like that. Mm-hmm. I will bring one of my shirts of chainmail and say, now pick that up with one hand and fling it across the room. and they'll, you know, but the thing weighs 45 pounds.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're like, wow.
Am I the only person who thinks, what would be the smell on the guy afterwards? I would just be like, you're all metallic-y, go away.
Well, let's just say that, you know, period scents were not very romantic.
Yeah, I would imagine not.
1856, I think it was, they had the Great Stink Summer in London. And
yeah,
because they were having
crazy.
A drought, and the river wasn't flowing. And so basically all of the sewage was backed up on the banks. And they called it the year of the Great Stench.
Oh, my gosh.
I will admit, when I write medievals, that I do tend to throw in a couple extra baths.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is
yeah.
my modern question.
You know what? I want that, though. I don't want the real nitty-gritty on that. I don't want to know the funk involved. Just, you know, make that pretty for me, okay?
Hey,
as a reader of it, make it pretty.
I dress period, I don't smell period, and I do go to the dentist.
Very good. Glad
I love
know.
It. Yeah.
I know. Like, well, I also write a lot of either Viking-influenced or Viking background heroes, or at least what's come out so far has had a little bit of that to it, and they were known for bathing a little bit more, and they were
mm-hmm.
actually thought their, you know, their darn pagan ways to come take the women during the Viking era, because they would bathe weekly.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the Vikings during the height of the Viking Empire, they were the most advanced civilization on the planet. They were able to overrun some of the Roman legions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So their weaponry, their long ships were amazing for speed.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have a lot of living quarters in them, but they were built for speed.
Now, I was just going to ask about that, because I was thinking, weren't these, like, they really were set down close to the water, and they only had that little area where you could, like, lift up and put either weapons or food storage, but where would they sleep or something? There's, like, nowhere on that boat.
Well, they didn't stay in their boats very long. They went ashore. Those mm-hmm. boats were basically like the flying ninjas of the period.
So they were just used to get across quickly on things, and they weren't used for, like, long hauls?
No, they were used to basically sweep in on your enemy,
mm-hmm.
and they were not sighted before they were on top of you, which for the period, you had boats with sails and things like that. You could sight those several hours before they hit the shore,
mm-hmm.
you see, and then the Vikings come down, and you don't see them. They were able to push into the water at night, at sunset, and they were able to raise a village before midnight.
Are they the ones that had, I don't know the proper term for it, but you pulled the piece back and they could drop their mast thing down?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Was that them or no?
Yes, that was one thing.
Because everyone out there is laughing at me right now. I swear to you, I'm not like, you know, I'm not a walking book of history. I really, it interests me, but, you know, I don't just know it.
And a lot of their designs were taken off of the Greek.
Mm-hmm.
The Greeks had similar boats that were built in a similar fashion. Now, I'm not an expert by any means on maritime history, but
mm-hmm.
I know enough to know certain things and why different cultures dominated at certain periods in time. And usually it comes down to technology.
Mm-hmm.
They had these boats where they could move in faster than anyone else.
Well, I think this stuff is just fun to hear and learn, you know. I mean, yes, we do. We dabble in the paranormal here on the show, too. We talk about all that. But sometimes it's just fun to just talk about things, too, that just aren't common at the everyday, you know, I don't know, Michelle Salsa probably is, because she's like that. I'll talk to her, she'll be like, oh, it's this, this, and this, and I'm like, dude, how do you know that? Did you come out of the womb just knowing that?
I'm full of useless historical knowledge.
Yeah, I'm okay with, like, not historical. But
well, I have a child with an abnormally high intelligence, So in this house, we always have Discovery Channel or something like that because I have to keep him focused or he gets into mischief. I'm the one that gets called to the principal's office for my 7-year-old because I get told my son called someone an asshole. And I said, what? We don't use that word at my house. And I go, what did you say, Nathan? And my young son, who's 7 years old, looks at me and says, ugh, I told Tom that if he was an ass, no one would covet him because he's so stubborn. And I look at the principal and I go, well, somebody was paying attention as we were studying the commandments this week. But
we had to take the Discovery Channel away from you know, one of my boys here, actually. At the time, he was 5, and this was a while ago. And the school nurse called me, and she said, Ms. Roth, you did not mark down hip replacement on his chart. I'm like, but what are you talking about, hip replacement? He's 5. She's like, no, you did. I mean, he's here. He's explained it thoroughly to me. You have not marked this down on his chart. And I was stupefied. She's like, he told me that he has a bum hip that had been replaced. And you know, I'm like, he had Discovery Channel on all night long in his room. And it was like the health one. So we did. We had to, like, banish that for a while because I got a call.
Oh, yeah. I get calls all the time. My son got in trouble because, you know, the kids were playing Hot Lava Monster, so he proceeds to turn around and says that Magnum 22,000 degrees centigrade and it vaporizes human flesh and bone. The kids didn't want to play with him anymore.
I would imagine not.
So we have a long history of this with, you know, my son. But the
You know what, though? Look at who their moms are. We're writers. We're very eccentric. We're very imaginative.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm real popular up at the school. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
You know, though, it's a great career because all those little eccentric, neurotic things that we do can so be explained by, she's a writer.
Oh, yeah. You know, I write just to explain myself. That's all. I don't write for any other reason, but I just needed to explain my own.
You're allowed to be eccentric and weird and, you know, stare off into space for no reason and just, like, you know, stand on your front lawn in slippers and pajama pants and looking up, oh, wait, is that just me?
You know what, ladies? I may live in my own little world, but I write them down now and charge admission.
I love it. Oh, my
Perfect.
God. Oh, my. Well, we're running out of time. We should probably say thank you very much for joining us again.
Yes, thank you, Mary.
Always fun to have you with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me on the show, ladies. I love it. I've been looking forward to it for a week.
And one more time, can you give the listeners your website?
MaryWine.com and DawnRyder.com.
Excellent. And be sure to check out her newest release, which is?
Challenge Protocols at Dolores Cave.
Yes. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mary, so much, ladies.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Oh, she's a lot of fun to have on. I always get excited.
Oh, I know. You start talking historical, I just get all excited.
Yeah. And I'm hoping that, you know, we'll end up, we always get some really good, you guys are great about sending in emails about the shows and that, which is really nice, and thank you for that. We do appreciate hearing that, you know, people are listening.
And we do promise that the reader questions that have been coming in, we are planning on making
yes.
some time to
yes.
get to those in a future show.
Yeah, and I've been really good about marking down and letting everyone know that we're not going to get to them right away, but we've got them planned to do, like, a show with questions. So they've seeming, no one's, you know, emailed back and been like, bitch, so I think it's okay.
They're too scared of you.
It's coming now, too. You know, somebody just hit reply to do that to me now, just to laugh at me and be like, yeah, now you got one.
Like 50 emails of just that.
Yeah.
If you're out there and you want to email us for future shows, and I do promise that we will get to them, you can email your questions directly to us at ravenradio@ravenhappyhour.com.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you can ask us personal questions about our personal writing for future guests, anything that you want. And do check us out on the web. It's ravenhappyhour.com, michellepillow.com, and mandyroth.com.
Yes, and we will be – oops, are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, I heard a cutoff. Is that weird?
Yeah, I know. I've been hearing them.
I think we've had, like, spirits talking with us today. Later, the EVPs of this are going to pop up. We are going to be putting a call out for short stories for people who want to send in. You do not have to be a published author to do it. To send them in, like, 2,000 words, and we'll put them up on the site. There's no pay for it. There's no anything. It's just getting to share fun paranormal stories. So we will get more information to you all on that and be putting it up on our blog at some point.
Well, yeah, we'd like to thank you all for joining us today and those who are listening to us later in the archive. And we hope to see – the show next week is canceled, but in 2 weeks we will be back Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., and we hope to see you then.
Yep. Take care, everybody.
Bye.